This chazar is a condition of Rechaz Roshagam of Yehudim Sechaz Bamasiyah Daf Hey. Reflect my Rabbi Mechamah to the Brisa that says that in order for the four Shomer to come chayv to make an oath, they have to deny part of the claim and admit to part of the claim. Presumably, the case is where the Shomer told them, Halach, here it is, regarding the part that he admits to, and still he has to swear. We see that one must swear even in the case of Halach. And the case is where the owner claims they gave three animals to the Shomer, and he claims that it all died through negligence. And the Shomer says, no, I only got two. And of the two, one died with an onus and one died through negligence, for which I must pay you. Therefore, it's not a case of Halach. Reflect my Rabbi Chia had stated that if a defendant denies a claim and witnesses then obligate to pay part of the claim, he has to swear on the rest. The father of Avtariki taught a brisa that says the pasuk of Asher Yomer Ki Uzeh teaches that one is only chayiv to swear if there is a partial self-admission, not if he becomes obligated to pay based on a testimony of witnesses. This refutes Reb Chiya. Reb Chiya says Reb Chiya Tanhu Palik. Therefore, he can argue. How would he explain the pasuk though? Reb Chiya said he would say the pasuk is not extra and instead simply teaches the halacha that a partial admission must swear. From here, he learns via Kav Chomer, like we learned earlier, that if witnesses obligate to partial payment, he also has to swear. The father of Reb Avtariki, he would say that the word who teaches that a partial admission has to swear, and the word zeh teaches that if witnesses obligate the partial payment, he's part of him swearing. Reb Chiya would say that the second drasha teaches that in order for him to have to swear, the admission must be regarding the same type of that the claim was made, meaning if he claimed wheat, he has to admit the wheat, not barley. The father of Rabbi Avtariki, he doesn't make that drasha, because he holds Rabbi Gamliel, who says that even if the admission is not of the same type of the claim, he'd be chayiv to swear. Mar says it was a shepherd who would be given animals by the people of the town in front of witnesses every day to watch them. One day they claimed to have given him the animals without witnesses. He claimed that he never received any of the animals. Witnesses came and testified that they saw him eat two of the animals. Reb Zera said, according to Reb Chiya, he would have to swear regarding the other animals that they claimed to have given him. Abaya said, this shepherd has been proven to be as a full ganef, and as such he can't swear. Reb Zera said, I meant that the plaintiffs would have to swear, and since he can't swear, they would swear and collect. Even not according to Reb Chiya, there should be an oath made, because Reb Nachman said that the Rabbanan instituted an oath to be made upon full denial as well. Mar said the concept of shifting the oath to the plaintiffs is itself a takana of the Rabbanan. Therefore, since Reb Nachman's oath is also only the Rabbanan, we would not put a takana on top of another takana. However, if there's an oath of Reb Chiya, which is deraisa, we would apply to that takana because that would be only one takana. Even if the shepherd wasn't proven to be a ganav, he shouldn't be able to swear, because Reb Huda said that a regular shepherd is possible to serve as a witness because they allow their animals to graze in fields of other people. Mar said that's only when he's watching his own animals and stands to benefit from allowing them to do that, but not when he's watching the animals of other people. If we don't say this, we would never be allowed to give an animal to a shepherd to watch, because we would be enabling him to do another. The Mishnah says, "Zeh Yishova she'en lo yibapachas michetzi v'chulu." Why does he swear I do not own less than half, instead of swearing I own half? The Mishnah's version can technically be true even if he owns nothing at all. Whereas Rav Huna said he swears I have ownership in this and I don't have less than half. Why doesn't he swear that he just owns the entire thing, which is what he's claiming? The Mishnah says, since we're not going to give him the entire thing, we only make him swear on what we eventually will give him, which is half. Why doesn't he simply swear half of it is mine instead of staying in the negative? The Mishnah said then he would be swearing in a way that contradicts his original claim. Now he's also swearing in a differently than he had originally claimed, where he says, yeah, but he says to the Bezdin, it's entirely mine. However, because you won't allow me to swear to that, I will swear that I have ownership in it, but I do not have less than half. Rabbi Yechanan said, the oath in the Mishnah is based on a rabbinic enactment, so that people not go and grab items of other people and claim it to be theirs. Requiring an oath will prevent people from making such a claim. In fact, if we're concerned that people will steal, we should be concerned that they'll also swear falsely. We shouldn't allow them to swear either. Mar says, even if we're concerned that a person may steal, we don't say that that means he would also swear falsely. If we don't say this, how can any partial admission swear? We make him swear because we're concerned because he's stealing, and yet we allow him to swear. Gemara says this last proof from a partial admission is not a proof, because we don't think he intends to steal. Rather, we think he's just trying to buy time to find money with which to pay. In fact, we find that Rav Ida bar Rava and the name of Chisa said that one who denied a loan and was proven false by witnesses is still a valid witness, but one who denied a deposit and was proven false would be possible. It must be that we don't consider that one who denied a loan to be a ganav. Rami Yachamah taught a brisa that says in order for the four shemim to be chayiv to make an oath, they have to deny part of the claim and admit to part of the claim. In that case, why don't we say that since we're concerned that they may have stolen, we should also be concerned that he'll swear falsely. Furthermore, even though that discusses a deposit, there too he may be looking to buy time to find the ganav who stole the deposit from him, or find the deposit that he lost. So based on this, why is one who denied a deposit puzzled to be a witness? Why don't we say he's just looking to buy time? Mar says when we said he's puzzled is when witnesses come and testify that at the time he denied having the deposit, it was actually in his possession. Therefore, there was no reason to buy time. It must be that he was actually trying to steal. Fek Mar Avuna has said that we make the shomer swear that the deposit is not in his possession. We should say that since he's suspect of stealing, he should also be suspect to swear falsely. Mar says he's not actually stealing here. He rationalizes that he's going to pay for the item that he's taking, and therefore he's not truly stealing. Rav Achmed Difti asked Ravina, even if he plans on paying for it, he's over in the law of leisachmoy, then should therefore be suspect regarding other matters as well. Whereas the people think that leisachmoy only applies when you don't pay for the item. Therefore, he's not suspect on the other matters or regarding swearing. If a person who is suspect regarding monetary matters is considered to be suspect for purposes of swearing, how does Rav Nachman make a person who has denied an entire claim to take an oath? Second question: in the case mentioned earlier with the storekeeper who claims that he gave money to the person's workers and the workers claim that they were never paid and they both go to the boss and they collect over there, how does Rav Chiya say that they both swear and get paid? One of them is lying. How does Rav Shesha say that we make a shomer swear that he was not negligent, that he didn't use the deposit, and that it's not in his possession? And for the matter, rather, it must be that we don't say that just because someone is suspect regarding monetary matters, he's also suspect regarding taking an oath. This is why we can impose an oath in our Mishnah with the logic of Rabbi Yochanan. Abaye argued that we do say that if someone is suspect regarding monetary matters, he's also suspect regarding matters of swearing. The reason we make him swear in the Mishnah is because we're concerned that maybe one of the parties had a questionable loan on the other party and thought that the only way he can possibly collect on the loan would be to grab the talis and take money from him that way. To prevent that from happening, we make him take an oath. Why don't we say that if this person is willing to grab money that's only questionably his, maybe he would swear for something like that as well. Rav Sheish, or Son of Ravina, said people stay away from even possibly swearing falsely, even though they don't stay away many. Maybe they won't stay away from money that's not possibly theirs. The reason is money can always be returned. A false oath cannot be taken back.